You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello, welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We're the football dudes. And Dave, I got a question for you, brother. Are you ready?
You got that right, my friend.
Oh, yeah, that means our next stop is the Trend Zone. In today's episode, we'll put another passenger on the coaching carousel. We'll check in with Deshaun, slip on out to Seattle, a little three-strike survivor, and we'll dig deep into all four of the divisional games coming up this weekend, Dave. But we can't start a journey without the Dank Nugs, brother. Lay it on us.
All right, bro. Let's go with it, man. The divisional playoffs here, Casey, a tale of two conferences. In the AFC, all four starting quarterbacks under the age or 25 or under. So wow. Super young blood in that divisional round in the AFC side. Meanwhile, in the NFC, we got some of the most prolific quarterbacks of all time, Casey. Translates to the old guys, right? Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, all these old guys combining for 8 Super Bowl victories. So that is prolific. But that is pretty amazing. And again, this is sort of the dichotomy of the league. You know, it's nuts.
I remember what I was doing at 25, Dave, and I don't think I was taking on AFC foes in the divisional round of the playoffs.
Nope. I was sitting on my couch watching it.
Oh, yeah. All right, Dave, let's go ahead and move into some of the top trending stories around the NFL. I got a good question for Philadelphia. What have you done for me lately, Doug Peterson? Wow.
Yeah, I guess that record, maybe 10 games above 500, Super Bowl trophy, the only one on their shelf, wasn't enough. Things soured and soured quickly, and it seemed like obviously the quarterback situation had a ton to do with that. In particular, obviously, the mishandling of the Hurts scenario in that last game, along with the overall look of what is going to go on with this QB. And getting rid of Peterson, that's great, I guess, but you still have the same problem. You know, is it Wentz or Hurts, and what are we going to do?
Yeah, well, I guess Mr. Carson Wentz went to Mr. Lurie and said, let's get rid of this guy. And wow. The quarterback usually beats the coach unless you're Bill Belichick.
That's right. I'm pretty sure his contract is a little bit cost prohibitive in terms of trading. So, hey, they got to figure out how to make something work over there.
Yeah, man. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, dude, lots of unrest down there in Houston, man.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. The Texans finally snapped out of it. They got their Casario to be the GM from the Patriots organization, and they just zipped along and did that without even consulting Deshaun Watson, Casey. Absurd and outlandish. However, they have appeased him. They're trying to gruntle Mr. Deshaun Watson by setting up an interview with Eric Bieniemy at this time, which is the guy that he recommended, of course, with the tip from Patrick Mahomes that this is the dude, right? Well, we'll see how that goes, but they're going to have to wait because it seems like those Kansas City Chiefs are pretty busy right now.
Dude, they could have given us some of that $100K that they spent on the firm to try to find a GM and then just say, oh, no, we're good. We're going in our direction, dude. They're just throwing away money. They don't have money for DeAndre Hopkins, but they have money to burn elsewhere.
No kidding, man. I'll tell you what. Got to wonder who's writing those checks there. I mean, jeez.
And then, Dave, a divorce in Seattle. I didn't really see this one coming.
No, Brian Schottenheimer gets let go as the OC in Seattle there, and he's obviously been in the league since he was born practically, son of Marty there. And, hey, it was all good and for the first 5 or 6 games this season when MVP ballots were being cast early for Russell Wilson. But, man, did things turn around somewhere around mid-season or so. And, man, I guess the S hit the fan, and Schottenheimer's got to hit the road now.
Crazy, man. So they'll be in that hunt, too. All right, Dave, let's go ahead and move this thing over to the 3 strikes pool. How'd you do in the postseason edition, bro?
Well, I went with my surefire pick, Casey. Guaranteed. A team that was going to lose this game was for sure going to lose because they didn't even have their head coach, blah, 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 blah. I had the Pittsburgh Steelers over to Cleveland Browns. That was, of course, a huge mistake.
You weren't alone in that. That was the most popular incorrect pick of the weekend.
Yeah.
I, however, went with the New Orleans Saints over the Chicago Bears, and that seemed to work okay for me. Didn't have to sweat it at all. Just watched a lot of the green slime on the Nick feed, which I actually think was awesome. That's tale for another time. But, yeah, so I'm surviving and moving on. The most popular correct pick, Tampa Bay over the football team.
Most popular pick heading into next week, Casey, is Green Bay over our Los Angeles Rams. I want a quick comment on that Nickelodeon slime cast, Casey. I was listening to a little excerpt from the Mad Dog radio guy in New York, and he kept referring to it as Nickelodeon, Nickelodeon. You're watching that Nickelodeon, then you got to have your head checked. Nickelodeon, are you kidding me?
I guess it went past him that they were trying to introduce NFL to a new audience, huh?
What is this stuff? I don't know who Ferb and Phineas are.
I don't need that.
Bubble guppies, come on.
Crazy stuff, man.
Oh, Nickelodeon. All right, Dave, let's get to the good stuff, bro. It is finally upon us, man. We have the divisional round of the playoffs. And it's getting started on Saturday. We have our Los Angeles Rams at the Green Bay Packers. And those Packers are 6.5-point favorites in this game, Dave.
Wow. I'll tell you what. One of the questions we're going to be asking is, how's the weather in Green Bay this weekend? There's supposed to be some snow showers heading into the weekend, but maybe not actually on game day. So we'll see how that goes. But this Rams team, dude, coming off an absolutely dominating win in the wild card game against Seattle. The QB situation was pretty sketchy going in. Wolford got the start, got whacked early, and couldn't go. Goff got the call after that with the banged up thumb. And he wasn't that great, to be honest with you, but he made it through, and I give him credit for kind of courageously battling through who knows how much pain with that thumb. He did throw a touchdown, but he just completed 9 balls going under 50%. So hopefully the week off gives him time to get that thumb ready. I'm pretty sure he's going to go, although Coach has not really made any announcements on that, so maybe he wants to keep it a little secretive, but I'm pretty sure Goff is going to get the start there. Unfortunately, Casey, Cooper Kupp has been banged up too. He's got a knee and he's questionable for this game. And yeah, that would be a huge situation because Kupp and Wood each have 90 catches on the season. So both being in this game really gives them what they want at the wide receiver position. If Kupp can't go, it'll be Robert Wood along with Reynolds, Jefferson, and the tight ends Higbee and Everett still make up a strong receiving group. But Kupp is critical, man. He moves the chains very reliable receiver. Carrying the load running the football is going to be Cam Akers, dude, and he really has emerged.
Yeah,
80
dude.
Plus yards in 5 of the last 6 games. The one game he missed, I believe it was either COVID or injury or something, but has really been consistent for the latter portion of the season. Crushed it last week with 176 total yards and a touchdown. And when he needs a little breather, we'll see Malcolm Brown out there getting it done. But let's talk about this Rams defense, which was really the story of last week's game and the story of this season, as it's really each week you keep seeing it getting better and better, it seems like. I mean, awesome, awesome Pro Bowlers in Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Kind of everybody knows about, really, but this overall defense is completely dominating. Number one in total yards, points, and versus the pass. Third in the league versus the run. Second in sacks. So, I mean, let that sink in. They are absolutely killing it there defensively. Donald, though, hurt his ribs last week. He hasn't been practicing, but they said he might have practiced today, and he's going to go without a doubt. He's playing in this
he's
game.
Going.
Yeah, he's going, and he's going to have some extra pads around those ribs to make sure he doesn't get, poked in the ribs. But you don't want to poke him. I wouldn't want to poke that guy. You know what? He has 15 and a half sacks, including two of them from last week. Leonard Floyd at the linebacker position tacked on two sacks last week as well. He's got 10 and a half on the season, and this guy's really emerged as a heck of a weapon for this Rams defense as well. Jalen Ramsey, I mentioned at the top there, he's going to be tasked with covering Davante Adams, and that is going to be a heck of a matchup. Two of the premier players at their positions likely going against each other for a good portion of that game. Other cornerback, Darius Williams, he had the 42-yard pick six last week against Russell Wilson. That really did kind of change the complexion of that game at that point in time. The big question, Casey, can this defense handle Rodgers and that top-ranked offense against, like they did Russell Wilson? And they held Russell Wilson to 11 for 27, the pick six, and five sacks. If they can get all over Aaron Rodgers like they got over Russell Wilson, man, it is going to be interesting, and it is going to be fun to find out.
Yeah, dude, I'll take who is the 2020 NFL MVP for 800, Dave.
I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, Casey. Aaron Rodgers.
That's right. He's a huge Jeopardy fan. He won Celebrity Jeopardy in 2015, and he's going to host an upcoming episode. Can't wait to see that. It's going to be a good one. But when he's not hosting Jeopardy or cashing in on daily doubles or discount double checks, he's busy leading the number one scoring offense in the NFL at almost 32 points a game, dude. Yeah. And then he's been to the playoffs 10 of his 13 seasons. So I'll take who is pretty freaking good for 1,000, bro.
No doubt.
Go back to the draft last year. They didn't draft a wide receiver, but they did get rookie running back A.J. Dillon. And he's really starting to emerge, much like Akers. He missed some time due to COVID, too, but he got a shot week 16 against the Titans and ran over those fools for 124 yards and two touchdowns, man. Woo. So he gives the Pack a nice Cerberus in the backfield with Jones and Williams. Now, Jones is going in to be a free agent going in the offseason. Hoisting a Lombardi might help ease the animosity there that's gone in negotiations, or maybe not. Who knows? But they can deal with that after the season. You mentioned this matchup, dude. Davante Adams and Jalen Ramsey. I cannot wait to see this thing, man. I think this is what I'm most geeked about the whole weekend. All Adams did was set the single-season franchise record, 115 catches, tied the franchise mark with 18 TDs and 1,374 yards. Dude, he did it in just 13 and a half games, man. This guy is a monster.
Wow.
And like you said, and I said, Ramsey and Adams, they're both first-team All-Pros. And I think Ramsey will be on him most of the day. The Pack does like to move Adams around, sometimes put him in the slot. So we'll see if Ramsey carries him everywhere he goes.
Right.
Just a fascinating matchup, dude. It's a hodgepodge of the other receivers there, but another guy that emerged this year was tight end Robert Tonyan, second on the team with 52 receptions, 586 yards, and 11 touchdowns, dude. So Rodgers isn't known to really work the tight ends all that much, but this guy is a weapon that he likes to go to. And no team scored more touchdowns inside the 20 than the Pack this year, dude. They scored at 80%. That's the highest conversion rate in the NFL over the last 40 years, dude. They're so efficient down there.
Wow.
And even better on this six-game winning streak to end the regular season, dude. 20 TDs on 22 red zone trips. That's over 90%, bro. And
damn,
one of the misses was them taking a knee because the game was over, man. So just amazing when they get – they call it the gold zone, though, because they love gold. second and third down efficiency, just under 50%. So this is a dynamic offense, going to attack you a lot of ways. But Aaron Donald up front, man, I can't wait to see that number one offense against the number one defense. It's going to be great. You flip it over to the defense. It was the Smith brothers making names for themselves on this defense last year. But this year, dude, linebacker Rashawn Gary has really emerged, especially in the run defense. And our guy, undrafted rookie, free agent Chris Barnes from UCLA, he's taken over that Mike linebacker position. And he was big in week 17 against the Bears, had 14 tackles in that one. And
wow,
this defense is trending in the right direction. Only 12 turnovers in their first eight games. 12 turnovers in the last eight games. They only had six through the first eight. So they're getting way more turnovers, and you give Rodgers those extra possessions, and that's bad news for you. Yeah. And over the last three games, their red zone defense, dude, holding opponents to a league low 25% conversion rate. So they're not letting you score touchdowns. They're making you settle for field goals, dude. So it's really starting to go. Mike Pettine's got this thing kind of rolling. They finished the top 10. They finished the season in the top 10 statistically for the defense, dude. That's the first time in over a decade that the Packers have been up there. And wow. You mentioned the weather should be about 20 degrees for game time. Green Bay is 5-1 at home in the divisional round of the playoffs. They're only going to have about 6,000 fans there, but Dave, that's probably about 5,897 cheeseheads in attendance. So they're going to make their presence felt, and this is going to be an exciting game, man. They say defense wins championships. We're going to find out on Saturday, man. What a way to get this thing started, dude.
No doubt about it. And we'll see if that weather does cooperate or if it ends up being an issue and if this thing becomes more of a grounded out kind of game, you know what I mean? And if that has any impact. But Rodgers seems to just play right through the snow without any hesitations, right?
He's too cool, man. He does not care.
All right. Casey, this that would be enough, Casey. But no, it continues. This divisional Saturday matchup continues. Next up, it is going to be the Baltimore Ravens at the Buffalo Bills. Man, oh, man. Bills at home favored by one in this one, dude. Wow.
Yeah, that's no problem for these Ravens because with that victory on Sunday, John Harbaugh is now the NFL's all-time leader in road playoff wins. He's got eight of them. That's not easily done, dude, when you think about it, man. So very impressive job he's done there. And this team's all about that action. Boss, Road Warrior, Action Jackson, dude, he's just as good. The Ravens are 16-3 on the road in the regular and postseason in 19 of Jackson's road starts. So getting it done there. And, dude, where they really get it done is on the ground. As a team, they're rushing for over 190 yards a game. That is best in the NFL. Unfortunately, they're 32nd in passing. But, Dave, why pass when you can run?
Yeah, right? And if you can't stop the run, they don't have to pass.
Right? Now, speaking of running, these Ravens are the first team in league history to rush for at least 3,000 yards in consecutive seasons, man. So it's not just Lamar, but he's a big part of it. Last week, 136 yards, including that 48-yard touchdown, that really jump-started that Ravens offense and kind of got things going.
Yeah, I think that really got it going for Lamar, too, man. That
absolutely gave him that confidence, and he started playing a lot better after that. Mm-hmm. And if he's not going to do it, he's going to hand it to J.K. Dobbins, dude. This guy's got a touchdown in seven straight games, including last week. And he's really become the guy there. You know, Mark Ingram was inactive last week. So between Gus Edwards and Dobbins, man, they are handling business, dude. Both of them are going for over 5 yards a carry, man. So they are chunking up the field when they do it.
Yeah.
So when they aren't running, they're trying to pass. And they still need that true number one we've talked about. But Marquise Hollywood Brown, he's been heating up lately. He's got six TDs over his last six regular season games, and he went over 100 yards against those Titans. Mm-hmm. A couple big plays where he did it after the catch, too. And he really can he's a threat from anywhere on the field. He can take it to the house anytime. But this team goes as the run game goes. Don't get it twisted. They're never going to pass their way out of it and to a win. If that run's not going, they kind of slow down. But this Ravens team is also built on their defense, dude. Second in the league, under 19 points a game, and they held that high-powered Titans offense to only 13 points last week. You ask, how did they do that? By shutting down Derrick Henry. Bro, this guy only had 40 yards last week, 40 yards. He does that on a run most games, dude. He does that. That's a fourth quarter for him, man. This guy is great. And as a team, they only gave up 51 yards. And we talked about last week the impact of Campbell and Wolf on the defense. But they're going to get Ngakoue back for this one. They made the trade for him during the season. And he and Matthew Judon, dude, are lights out. They're at the linebacker.
Plenty of talent there, right?
Oh, heck yeah, dude. And, you know, the pressure will be on the secondary that wasn't for these guys last week. They held Ryan Tannehill to 165 yards and one interception. So it's going to be a different situation this week. Mm-hmm. But that pick was by Marcus Peters, who seems to show up biggest in their biggest games, man. They got Jimmy Smith back, and Marlon Humphrey is also balling out. So a lot of playmakers back there, and they have great special teams. It's going to take a complete game by the Bills and especially Josh Allen to win this game. But dude, right now Josh Allen's putting up MVP numbers, and the Bills are coming in, as my friends in Motley Crue like to say, red hot.
No doubt about it, dude. Both these teams are smoking hot right now. That's why this collision course that they're on is so exciting. But Casey, speaking of these Bills coming off that wild card win versus Indy, that was a tough game, a tight game, but that was their first wild card win since the mid 90s. So they are super stoked there in Buffalo. But just like Baltimore with Lamar getting that first win, getting the monkey off your back, so to speak, is that going to be enough? I don't think it's satisfied anyone on either of these two squads. And you're looking at this Bills team coming in there, dude. They've won 7 in a row. They are arguably the hottest team in the league, right? And if it wasn't for the Hail Mary, it would have been, I think, 10 in a row, Casey. In the last 4 games, they're averaging 42 points a game, dude. So they are putting up points, man. They are peaking offensively at just the right time. A great season, dude. 13 wins, the 2 seed, the improvement of Josh Allen, like we've talked about so much this year. The percentage going so up. You know, we knew he had a huge arm and could run, but the completion percentage, just the giant leap in year 3. And 37 touchdowns, just 10 picks. And when you throw the ball deep like this squad does, man, you're going lower percentage passes, you're going higher risk passes, and it's and instead he's got more TDs, lower interceptions, higher percentage, despite cranking it downfield with that monster arm of his. Okay, last week, enormous numbers for him, 26 of 35, that's over 74%, 324 and 2 touchdowns, no picks. It was a 121.6 rating. Oh, and he tacked on 54 yards and a touchdown running the football too. So absolutely dominant performance. They sort of unleashed Josh Allen's legs in the game and gave the Bills offense a new dimension. You know, their run game, but when you add Josh Allen and tack on 54 yards and a score there, that really threatens a defense in another way.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually rushed, unfortunately. I mean, good news, bad news. Rushed for more than Singletary and Moss combined. So those guys added, you know, a handful of catches too, but just a total of 91 yards between those two running backs. So they are looking to get more productivity out of those guys for sure. The run game just 20th on the season. So, you know, below average run game. But Bill's offense, though, overall ranked 2nd in the league with 31.3 points per game and was the best third down team at nearly 50%. And they featured the 3rd best passing attack in the NFL. So a lot of things cranking on that passing game there to really get this offense cruising. Diggs has been an enormous part of this. Stephon Diggs coming over, he just seems to fit this team perfectly. He became exceptionally gruntled getting out of Minnesota and getting onto this squad where they could really utilize his downfield skills with that huge arm of Josh Allen's. He had 6 catches, 128 yards, and TD last week. He led the NFL with 127 catches and 1,535 yards, so an enormous season for Diggs this year. Cole Beasley also a big game last week, 7 catches, 57 yards, and he's really become a very consistent and reliable weapon. Both the guys playing through little injuries, though, so hopefully they won't be hindered too much there. John Brown, the other guy, and he was held catchless last week, surprisingly, but rookie wide receiver Gabriel Davis has really emerged in the second half of the season, Casey, and he had 85 yards last week as well. So really spreading the ball around very well is Josh Allen, and then when he sprinkles in that running game with his own legs, he sort of diversifies that whole scheme there. Now, defensively, the Buffalo squad, they are a little bit below average, basically, in most stats. The thing that is their sort of their forte is they were tied for third in the league with 26 takeaways. So that's a good thing. Obviously, the turnover battle, huge in the playoffs. So looking to get a takeaway from this defense, right? They will be challenged, though, and their run defense isn't great. So they will certainly be challenged by the potent Baltimore run offense. That is going to be a huge element of this game, is how can they mitigate that run game and not get completely run over? And the key is here, Casey, if their offense can keep doing what it's doing, then they just need a couple of stops or turnovers along the way. And then they can look to kind of get into a shootout. Okay. That's more suitable to their game. Get out in front. Make Lamar and the Ravens match you point for point, or get out in front and make them trying to play catch up. Sure, they did catch up last week. The Ravens did in the football game after getting behind initially. But they're generally speaking not a comeback team because they can't pass the ball very well. So if the Bills could get a couple of stops early and then get out in front and keep pouring on the points, that's going to get them into the position where they can get this incredible W and get to the AFC championship game, Casey.
Yeah, dude, and it looks like it's going to be no Zach Moss there. The Bills are bringing in Devonta Freeman to back up Singletary, so a little bit thin at that running back position, but if that might mean a few extra runs there for our guy, Josh Allen.
Right.
All right, Dave, let's move this over to Sunday's action. We get started in the AFC. It's the Cleveland Browns at the Kansas City Chiefs. It started at 4.5, dude, the point spread in favor of the Chiefs, and now it's up to 10, bro. So no love for the Browns, just the way they
won. That escalated quickly.
Yeah, right. And this is a college rematch, dude, of these quarterbacks when Mahomes was at Tech and Baker was at OU, dude. Remember this game? It was absolutely crazy, dude.
Fireworks.
Mahomes, almost 90 attempts. Over 800 yards, Baker over 500 yards, 12 touchdowns between them, almost 1,300 passing yards. It was insane. I think it ended 66-59 Oklahoma. So I don't think you're going to get that high of a scoring game this Sunday day, but you're going to see those guys throw the ball a few times.
I imagine so, Casey. If we get that high of a score game, man. Woo! I'll tell you what. but let's go into this Cleveland squad, because, Casey, they are feeling pretty good about themselves after going through COVID, all kinds of craziness last week, not sure what's going to happen, didn't have their head coach at their disposal. Playing their rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers, who they narrowly beat the previous week, and getting an absolutely huge win as they dismantled the Steelers 48-37. The score, it makes it look closer even than it really was. Without Kevin Stefanski, multiple players out, they'll all be back, though, for this one, and they're all feeling really good about themselves getting that first playoff win in a million years. And this offense has really improved since they brought in Stefanski at head coach. He has really made a huge difference. And Baker Mayfield, you know, he's got, I mean, we see him basically all day long on television commercials. And I'll tell you what, though, he's toned down his moxie or whatever, the bravado, a teeny bit, and he's just unleashing it on the football field. And I'm really loving what I'm seeing here. Last week in particular, 263 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. It was a 115 quarterback rating, and that is a pretty impressive performance for a playoff debut for a Baker Mayfield, right? On the season, 3,500 plus yards, 26 TDs, just 8 picks. So really bringing the picks down. And he's got a ton of talent around him. Let's talk Jarvis Landry, dude. 5 catches and 92 yards last week and a touchdown in the wild card game. Austin Hooper, 7 catches, 46 yards and a touchdown last week. But in order to win this game, Casey, versus the Chiefs, the team is going to have to do what they do the best, and that is dominate in the run game. And that means we're talking about unleashing the third-ranked running team in the league. They average 148.4 yards a game. So really just a dominant running attack with Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Chubby last week, 145 yards total. And he's, they're, both of these backs are great receiving the football too. He had a TD catch last week, rushed for over 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns on the season. He is really, really playing good football. Kareem Hunt was the guy, the first guy out there last week to cash in on a couple of touchdowns. He had 48 yards and two scores. So combined, both backs over 1,100 yards, Chubb over 1,200, Hunt over 1,100 total yards. That's the only pair of running back teammates with 1,000-plus scrimmage yards in 2020. So both guys dynamic through the air and on the ground, and basically huge, huge components of this Cleveland Browns offense. So they don't lose a lot if they have to switch between one guy or the other. Obviously, yeah. Chubby's the guy that's going to get the sort of the bulk of the load there. But, man, Hunt, as a rookie, led the league in rushing. So this guy's got plenty going for him, too. And he might have a little chip on his shoulder, being that he was in Kansas City when he got that rushing title as a rookie. And they said, no thanks, we don't like your show in this town anymore, so get out of here. Defensively, Casey, this Browns defense ninth versus the run, so that's pretty good news there, right? But just 22nd versus the pass, not a great Ooh. Scenario going against Mahomes in that.
Did the Chiefs pass the ball a lot?
They come once in a while, they sling it, right? So being 22nd against the pass, probably not a great matchup for them. They did have 38 sacks, that's decent. Pro Bowler Myles Garrett had 12, leading the team there. But overall, just an average defense. Last week, though, they really got it rolling, picked off Big Ben four times, held the Steelers to just 52 rushing yards. That'd be something nice if they can really make them one-dimensional, the Chiefs. I don't know if you really want to make their one-dimension passing,
dimension,
though.
Dude, wrong dimension.
Wrong dimension. We're in a totally wrong dimension here. But they did give up over 500 passing yards last week. Now, of course, the Steelers were playing catch-up basically the whole game, so they were slinging it like crazy. But they don't want to get into a shootout with the Chiefs, let's be honest. They want to make this a game where they run the ball, control the clock, keep Mahomes and company on the bench, score touchdowns in the red zone. And they obviously, Casey, and this is like a no-brainer, but they want to win the turnover battle. And here's a more specific reason why. They are 10-0 in the regular season when they didn't lose the turnover battle, and they're definitely looking to win it. And when they do win it, they are a dominant squad, dude.
Yeah, man. Let's move it over to these Chiefs. I'm not even gonna waste time on Pat Mahomes. We've heard all the stuff about them, but this team, 14-2, number one offense, number one passing offense, number one scoring offense, and you know who's the reason behind all that. But you flip it over those targets, dude. Tyreek Hill.
Big Red?
Yeah, that's right. All those filet of fish down there. Hill and Kelsey, they both sat out week 17, and they just had the bye, so they should be about as healthy as they've been for most of the season. Tyreek Hill, 17 TDs this season. But, dude, Travis Kelsey went completely next level. Tight end, mind you, second in the NFL with over 1,400 receiving yards, dude. That is a single-season NFL record. He's got four games in a row with a receiving touchdown, eight in a row with it, seven or more catches, 60 or more yards. So the dude is a production machine. And then he's got four TD receptions in his last three postseason games. So dude loves the big stage there too. Mm-hmm. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's coming off a week 15 high ankle sprain. And he's been pretty good, but he's only really rushed for more than 80 yards twice this season.
Yeah.
So they haven't really gotten the production that they hoped they would get out of Le'Veon Bell either, but maybe Bell's going to have a bigger responsibility or assignment during the postseason. He's been there before. He's got that experience, and maybe it's just taken him some time to get there, but it really just hasn't paid off like they hoped it would. The defense – they're not great, but they don't have to be great, dude. They do have some really good players at all three levels, but you just have to get a couple of stops when you got that high-powered offense on the other side. If there is a weakness to this team, it is definitely their rush defense, and that could turn out to be a really bad thing for these Chiefs if the Browns are able to stick to their game plan, which would be running the ball, limiting possessions for Pat Mahomes in that offense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this year the Chiefs have had to eke out some very close games.
Yep, a lot of them.
Seen in the past. But maybe that's a good thing. You know, they're winning. You you just blow teams out all the time. You forget what it's like to be in a dogfight. So maybe that's going to, you know, help them out. And, you know, in those games, when it's the closest, that's when Patrick Mahomes is at his very best. Are they unbeatable? No. Are they very tough to beat? Yes. You know, so is it going to be back-to-back-to-back AFC championships for the Chiefs? Or are the Browns a team of destiny, Dave? We're going to find out on Sunday, bro.
No doubt about it, dude. That is a key question, Casey. And the key question being, like you said, you know, they've been winning a, kind of some close games there, Kansas City. Are they just going to flip the switch? You know, is that all it takes?
We'll find out on Sunday. Ooh,
we'll see. All right, Casey. Sunday, the nightcapper, as you will, is yet another masterful football game, dude. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. The Saints at home are favored by 3 in this one, and we're talking a battle between, obviously, multiple regular season Super Bowl MVPs, 59 postseason starts between these two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks who rank first and second in both passing yards and TDs, including postseason history in the NFL. Casey, this is a seriously awesome matchup between two great football teams and two very prolific quarterbacks.
Yeah, dude, both these teams, they're very similar, which is kind of crazy. They're both averaging over 30 points a game, and the defenses are holding teams just about 22 points a game. And you mentioned the GOAT, Tom Brady, the most postseason games played ever, the most postseason wins, the most postseason passing yards, passing touchdowns of any player in NFL history, dude. This guy wears a gold jacket to work. And it only took Brady one game as a Buck to set their postseason single-game franchise record with 381 passing yards. Take on it. Oh, and by the way, dude, that was almost double what the Washington football team had been giving up per game. He doubled that. So
yeah.
I'm impressed by Brady. And if you haven't heard the Tom Brady up from that WFT game, do yourself a favor and go check that thing out, man. It is very enjoyable. And up front, dude, these Bucs are really getting it done. They've allowed the fourth fewest sacks in the NFL, only 22. That's given Brady time to air it out, and that is a bad thing for opposing defenses. So many weapons on this team, they can beat you in a number of ways.
Yep.
But they like to go deep, Dave. I'm talking about balls deep, okay? Tom Brady averaging 9.53 yards per pass attempt. That was the best of all 12 quarterbacks last weekend in the wild card. And he got his 381 yards on just 22 completions. Dude, that's over 17 yards of completion.
Wow.
That was also best in the wild card round last week. 23 of Brady's 40 passes in that game against the WFTs traveled more than 10 yards downfield in the air. He completed 13 of those 23 passes for 283 yards, 2 TDs, no interceptions, giving him a passer rating of 128.9 on big plays, bro. They said his arm was gone. There was no evidence of that last week, bro. Sorry, not buying it. And Antonio Brown, dude, this guy is heating up. He's got 5 touchdowns in his last 4 games, had 2 last week. Mike Evans didn't have a touchdown last week, but he did lead all the players with 6 catches for 119 yards. And 6 of those receptions were on passes that were thrown more than 10 yards downfield in the air. So those are big plays. That's not run after catch. Those are big plays. Mm-hmm. Godwin had a few drops, but he got a touchdown, and he still led the team in targets. So if it's possible for him to have a bounce back game from what he had, you can expect that, dude. Those drops are going to go away. They did all that without Gronk having a catch, man. So if they can find a couple of places for Gronk D, this offense can even get better. Leonard Fournette last week, 132 scrimmage yards and a rush TD against a very, very stout WFT defense, man. They didn't have Ronald Jones. He wasn't able to overcome a quad injury he was nursing last week. I'm not sure if he's going to play Sunday. I think he will, and they should have Shady McCoy back for this one too. Haven't got a lot of contributions for him, but he's got a lot of playoff experience, and that should come in handy for these Bucks. Move it over to the defense. They're the best rushing defense in the league, just over 80 yards a game, and 4th in sacks at 48. And they're getting more help. They're getting linebacker Devin White and defensive lineman Steve McClendon back. Both those guys are coming off the reserve COVID list. This is a very aggressive Topols defense that likes to send pressure. What they're going to have to do against these Saints is tackle well and play with discipline in this game, because Drew Brees can make you look like a fool if not.
Yep.
And last week, you know, the only time the defense really struggled was when Heineke was able to break containment and run. That's not something you're really worried about with Breezer in there, but maybe when Taysom Hill is in. So if Peyton might dial up some stuff there for that specifically. You know, the Saints kicked the crap out of the Bucs the last time these guys played. They held them to 3 points. It was 38-3.
Yep.
But can anybody beat Tom Brady three times? Dude, before that second loss to them, I'm not sure he'd ever been beaten twice by the same team in the same season, man. So, lots of question marks there. But I'm going to tell everybody out there, dude, enjoy the hell out of this one. This might be the last time you see these two quarterbacks go head-to-head. Make sure you savor it and take it all in, because we might not see it again.
Totally agree with that one, KC, man. And that is what I start off with here. And I say, man, this might be the last chance for Brees to add another Super Bowl to his legacy there. Could be done either way, win or lose, after Sunday's events. But, you know, the last 3 years, so frustrating for Brees and company. Three straight years out of the playoff, very, very tough breaks. But this offense is really cranking this year, fifth in points at over 30. And Brees missed four games with the banged up ribs, the, I don't know, 14 broken ribs, when punctured lung, etc. But he still had a great season around that, and he came back maybe a little early, but he knocked the rust off, and he's playing some good football. And he's played typically in the postseason great football, averaging over 300 yards a game with 36 TDs and just 12 interceptions, and a career passer rating in the postseason of 107. So he brings it when the stage is big. Last week, had himself a pretty solid game. But let's look back at that game that you mentioned when they handled the Bucs earlier in the season. Four touchdowns for Brees, a 135 quarterback rating in that game, when they dismantled the Bucs about week 9 or 10 or something like that. Michael Thomas, Casey, really a sketchy season for Thomas. And who knows what's going to happen to Thomas at the end of the season. But he's battled injuries. He missed basically the first, I don't know, 8 or 10 games or something. But maybe he played, I think, 7 games this season. So when he's his best, he's among the best at wide receivers. He can be great. And I'm sure he's going to be dialed in for this game on Sunday. Emmanuel Sanders, on the other side, always productive. He's had 500-plus yards in each of the past 9 seasons. So look for his consistency to continue as well. Deontay Harris, the kick return specialist, really kind of came on last week, though, against the Bears, man. 7 catches, 83 yards, and he's a very shifty little dude. I like the way he looked out there. I think he gives him a different dimension, and I imagine that he'll be getting some looks this week as well. But let's talk about the dude who really gets this whole thing going, and it's Alvin Kamara at running back. Man, 21 TDs and ranked 3rd in scrimmage yards with 1,688 on the season. Led all running backs with 83 receptions on the season. So a very versatile running back, both running the football and receiving. He's their leading rusher and receiver, which is pretty rare for a squad that doesn't stink, you know. So these guys are legitimate, and he is really the guy that's the engine. Obviously, Breezers is a master, but Kamara is so productive. And he's been playing great. How about the 6 touchdowns he got for Christmas, right?
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good against the Vikings, man. He absolutely manhandled it, 116 yards and a touchdown. Last week, when he's not in the game, Latavius Murray gives him a little bit beefier guy. He also had a touchdown last week, so look for him to get a couple of touches in this game as well. Saints defensively ranked 4th in total yards. This is a really good Saints defense, and they have been for a number of years, as they've drafted exceptionally well on both sides of the football. But they've really got a young, talented group there. That 4th in total yards, just over 310 yards a game. 5th in points allowed at just over 21, and really balanced. 5th versus the pass, 4th versus the run. So there is no weak spot here. They are led by Pro Bowlers Cameron Jordan and Marshawn Lattimore, but they've got talent all over the place on that squad. Defensive end Trey Hendrickson, Casey, tied for 2nd in the NFL with his career high 13.5 sacks. and they're hoping he'll be able to play against the Bucks. He sat out last week with a neck injury. Not sure if he's going to go on this one or not. But Tampa Bay offense is a challenge, obviously. We know that. But this season facing the Bucks QB Tom Brady, they sacked him 6 times and intercepted him 5 times in the 2 games they played. Like you said, beating Brady 3 times, we have to check the books on that. I don't know that that's ever happened, right? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it has never happened. So that's going to be awesome if this team can rise up to the challenge and really handle him like they did in the first 2 games. The Bucks offense is different this time through. We'll see if the Saints are up for the challenge. The Saints offensively might be getting healthy at the right time. You know, the trio of Breeze, Thomas, and Kamara have hardly been on the field at the same time this whole year until last week where they got it going. They're all good to go again for this next weekend. This is going to be a monster football game, dude.
Man, I cannot wait to see this game. Or all these games, dude. This is one of the best. Until we got the super wild card weekend with all the 6 games, this was absolutely the best weekend of sports all the way around. But, oh, I am so looking forward to it. It's going to be rad. And, you know, for you guys out there, there are so many ways you can check the football dudes out. This podcast that you're listening to right now is available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn. Go over there, rate us, man. Subscribe. Let your friends know. Tell your family, anybody that loves football like we do, let them know about the podcast, man. That's the Trend Zone.
All right, Casey. Also, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA.
Or just go to footballdudes.com. That is going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. For Dave, I'm Casey. Enjoy the divisional round of the playoffs, people. We'll see you next week.